That is the best translation of what they're really saying. We have found the one who is anointed. That's what they were saying. The prophecies in the Old Testament promised an anointed one, and we have found the anointed one. Come and see for yourself. Come watch his life, and you will know he is the anointed one. Isaiah 11. Just want to look at a few of these prophecies. There are many prophecies about Christ, but I want to look at the ones that speak about his anointing. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. That word is power. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding. What will? The Spirit will. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him and make of him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ear, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Chapter 42. Behold, verse 1. 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And the last one, which is famous, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And we could read on and on there, but we won't for time. The point I'm making is these prophecies guided the heart and the expectations of Israel. There will come the anointed. When will the anointed come, which was spoken of by the prophets of old? When will he come? And the early disciples said, we have found the anointed one. Come and see. We have watched his life. We have seen his living. We have watched him move. And he is the anointed one. We have found him. We see in these verses the balanced nature of this anointing and power that came upon him. We see that the anointing was there with a plan and a purpose in mind. We see that anointing gave him supernatural character. We can get all of that just from looking at those verses in the Old Testament. But we will also see it as we see these verses lived out in the reality of the life of the Christ while he walked upon the earth. A supernatural character and a supernatural ministry. Now let's look at that anointing. Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 2. We want to look just a little bit at Jesus as a child. And the reason why we want to look at him before his anointing is so that we can see that there was a definite marked difference in his life before and after the anointing was put upon him. In verse 40, we read these words. The child, that's Jesus, the child Jesus grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. A little bit further down in the text, we come to that place. You remember how they came to Jerusalem when he was 12 years old? And if you understand Jewish customs there, when a young man becomes 12 years old, he goes through what they call bar mitzvah, which means bound to the commandments. He makes his choice to serve God and serve the law of God. And Jesus was 12 years old. I don't know if all of that is connected in here, but it is interesting that it happens when they're 12 and Jesus is 12 years old. But Mary and Joseph head back home and Jesus stays in Jerusalem. We know that story. They find him, they're shocked, and he's shocked that they're shocked. Amen. And you can imagine, from their perspective, 3 days. I mean, I've lost my children a couple of times, you know, and wondered where they are. And you know what goes on inside of you, you know. You know where they are, what's going on, you know. 3 days, they're looking for this young fella. And then he says to them, "Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business." Hey, this is what it's all about. This is why I'm here. Well, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So that's about all we get into the glimpse of the life of the Lord Jesus before he was anointed. But we'll see a little later here in Luke that the people were even surprised. You know, they would say things like, "What is this? Isn't this Joseph's son? I mean, we know Joseph's son. He's been around for years. What is all this he's doing?" All right. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. "And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Baptized with water and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to skip the genealogy, but this verse follows that verse that we just read. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." So, we have a different Jesus now. He is anointed now. His ministry has begun. And after his baptism, that dove rested upon him, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We'll skip the temptation and go down to verse 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after the temptation." He returned in the power of the Spirit. All right, let's go to verse 18 and read from verse 18 to 23. Now Jesus is in his hometown. He's been there many, many times. All his years growing up, he's been in that synagogue. He's been there many, many times. Now he's here. And he asks for the book of Isaiah. And he opens it up and he reads these words. And by the way, he reads them with all the unction that they were breathed out with. Amen? This was not a normal reading of the book of Isaiah that took place in that synagogue. The anointed one is now standing in the synagogue, and he opens up the book of Isaiah, and he begins to read those words. In the spirit that they were breathed out by the prophet Isaiah. He reads them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. Silence. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Why? Because he just read those verses in the unction and power of the Holy Ghost. And they're all looking at this guy and saying, what is this? And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? What is this? It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. That's what it is. Well, they got pretty upset in there and tried to throw him off of a cliff and kill him, and he went on to another synagogue. And it says in verse 32, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. He spoke words, and those words were with power, and it arrested everybody's attention. And they were astonished at the things that he was saying because of the power that was behind the word. Well, in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him into the midst, he came out of him, and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority, that's exousia, and power, that's dunamis, he commandeth the unclean spirit, and they come out. We're looking at the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Christ, needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus, the Christ, needed the anointing upon him. He was overwhelmed, immersed, covered, engulfed in the presence of the Spirit of God. And the implications of this are far-reaching, brethren. He lived under a continual anointing of the presence of his Father. He had to. It was his name. He had to. It was his very name. If the Lord Jesus Christ needed it, how much more, brethren? How much more? How foolish we are to think that it's going to be okay at judgment day that we frittered our life away without the anointing of God upon us. That's foolishness to think it. If the Lord Jesus needed to be anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost, how much more do we, his followers, need that anointing upon our lives? He lived under that continual anointing. Christ was very careful to maintain that anointing. those times alone, those all nights up there on the mountain. What do you think he was doing up there? Do you think he was putting in his time for his devotions? I got to get up there and cover my prayer list. I got to get so many chapters of the Bible read. See you later, disciples. I got to go do my devotions. See you later. How many of you think that's the way he went up into the mountain? We know better, don't we? He wasn't up there doing his devotions. He was up there bathing himself, immersing himself in the presence of the living God, his Father, listening to his voice, breathing out prayers that were inspired by the Spirit of God. That's what he was doing alone in that mountain all night long. We know that's what he was doing. But what was he doing? Why was he doing that? He was maintaining the anointing of God upon his life. That's what he was doing. He needed to do that. He was a man. He needed to do that. If Jesus needed to do that, oh, how much more we need to do that. And we will not be able to do it just putting in our time. Amen. Oh, I got to get my 30 minutes in before I get off to work today. No, 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 no. I must go and get in the presence of the living God. To maintain the anointing of the Spirit of God upon my life today. That's why he was up there in that mountain. His daily ministry flowed out of his anointing. And I know we can't match his anointing, for he was not given a measure of the Spirit, but all. I know that. But yet, we can follow his example. And I believe we are bound to follow his example. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be being continually filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be being continually filled and controlled with the Spirit. That's the best amplified translation of Ephesians 5:18. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was being continually filled, controlled, and powered and led by the Spirit of God. Jesus lived his life, his ministry, those 3.5 years under the anointing of the Spirit of God. He walked in the Spirit. That's what he did. He's our example, isn't he? Thank God for that. That's a beautiful challenge to every one of us. It's a good example for us to consider the anointing that was on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Well, there is a wealth in that little verse right there that Jesus is making. That statement. I can of mine own self do nothing. Wait a minute. You're Jesus Christ. You're the Son of the living God. What do you mean you can't do anything on your own? What he was saying was, I am bound by the Spirit of God to do only what my Father will tell me to do. That's what he was saying. And I'm not doing any of these things on my own. Everything I do, I'm doing it because I hear my Father telling me to do it. In another place he said it this way, my Father works and hitherto I work. What I see my Father doing, I do. He had a connection with his Father. The anointing that was upon him kept the heaven open over him, and he heard the voice of his Father. He would walk up to somebody, he would see a lame man there by the wayside, He didn't just walk up to that lame man and respond on his own and say, "Oh, the poor lame man, I think I'll heal him today." Jesus didn't do that. He walked with his Father in the anointing of the Spirit of God. And when he walked up to that lame man, his Father's compassion was overflowing in his heart. And he saw his Father's heart going out to that lame man, and he reached out and touched the lame man, and the lame man jumped up and began to walk. That's how Jesus lived his life. It's a beautiful example for us. I mean, think about it. He was so free in the Lord. Here comes some messengers to tell him, "Your friend Lazarus is sick. He's about to die. You're a healer. He's your friend. Go and heal him." "Father?" "No, son." "All right, disciples, I think we'll go over this way for a couple of days." What's happening over there? "Oh, Lazarus, he's dying. You know, Jesus, isn't he your friend? Well, aren't you going to go and heal him? Don't you know you can heal him?" "Father?" "Okay, Lord." "Hey, Father." Just as free as a bird. And his friends over there dying. How can he do that? He was bound by his Father's will. And his Father said, "Not now, son. Not now." "Okay. Must be something better coming." Amen. Something better's coming. And of course we know, he showed up 4 days later after he stinks and proclaimed and gave him a personal invitation to rise from the dead. "Lazarus, come forth!" And he rose from the dead. Oh, what a challenge to every one of us. My Father works and hitherto I work. I am living by my Father, Jesus said. I am living by my Father. Tuck this one away for your meditation. The name Christ, which means anointed, it appears 60 times in the Gospel before Pentecost. It appears 500 times from Pentecost to the end of the Bible. You chew on that one a little while. He is the Christ now. He is the Christ now. And ye are the body of Christ, the body. Have you been overwhelmed with the Spirit since ye believed? How long has it been? When last were you enveloped in His presence, brother? You say, "Well, Brother Denny, I believe that you grow into it." Okay. You've been growing for 10 years. And still, there's no powerful anointing upon you. So if you grow into it, where is it? Even if you grow into it, where is it? Are you confessing your disobedience? Have you grown into a mighty anointing of God upon your life? Well, I know that we don't want to get all wrapped up in emotional experiences. I know that. But you know something? Christ was experiencing His Father every day. And for that, I want. That I want. I'm not seeking tingling feelings. I want an anointed life
a practical holy life, a life filled with divine character, and a life that speaks words that influence others when I speak. That's what I want. I'm not looking for some tingling that goes up and down my back, although sometimes when you're in the presence of God, your back does tingle. And the hairs stand up on your back too. But that's not the point. The point is, Jesus had an anointed life and an anointed divine character and a supernatural ministry and a voice which was powerful. And for these things, brethren, every one of us should be longing for them. These things we long for. Let us seek God to this end as we are here these days. Let us open up our hearts to the workings of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Let us get honest, like we heard last night. Let us get honest. God, what is standing in the way of that anointing upon my life? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves. And we will get into it further in the days ahead. How to pursue these things. But it's good for us to ask that question even here this morning. Okay. The presence of God is far away from reality in my own life. Why? That is the question. Why? Have you been playing games with God? Have you gotten caught up in this American Christianity? Have you overreacted to all the weird things that happen in some churches these days, and because of that, you've just settled down into nothing? Whatever it may be, these are days of examination. These are days when we should open our hearts to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, show me. Show me where I'm at. Show me what my needs are. Show me what stands in the way. Show me where I lost my way. If, in fact, you do remember some sweet times when you were overwhelmed in the presence of God, what you have to say as you sit here today, it's been quite a while since I was enveloped in the presence of the living God. So I leave that challenge with you this morning as we make our way through another day seeking God together. Let's just stand to our feet and ask God to examine our hearts throughout this day and the days ahead. Let's do that together. Our God and our Father, we bow down to Thee. We acknowledge You. We acknowledge Your Word. We acknowledge the testimony of Your Son, the Christ. He is the Christ. Even this very moment, He is the Christ. And we rejoice in that, Father. We open our hearts to You this morning and pray. Plow on them, Father. Deal with us. Open up the eyes of our understanding. Yes, Lord, even as we heard last night, give us the gift of a revelation of our own heart, Lord. All of us, Father, let us see like Isaiah saw, the Lord high and lifted up, and woe is me, I am undone. Lord, we ask You for these things, trusting You, believing Your promise. We ask Him in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.